All right, we're going to be in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. There is a very nice iPhone up here. I will trade you for my Motorola with a cracked screen. I'm just kidding. Did you say just toss it? I'm not going to do that. I don't want yours to have a cracked screen like mine. All right. So we're going to start here in just a moment, verse 12 of 1 Corinthians 12. First, I want to tell you a little bit about something that I heard yesterday morning while watching college football game day. I know I'm not the only one here that starts their Saturdays with a little bit of college football game day with Lee and Kirk, Reese, great group. Reese Davis, actually. It's kind of funny. different Reese. So they did a segment on Western Michigan University and their football team. The team is undefeated, so they're starting to gain quite a bit of notoriety for the season that they're having. They interviewed their head coach, PJ Fleck, and he talked about how he has gone about coaching that team and how he approaches inspiring his players to play to the best of their ability. And he talked about a mantra that their team has, and I just love this, row the boat. So that is the team's mantra, row the boat. And so, of course, they wanted to know a little bit more about this because it was written on the walls, in the locker room. It was on their uniforms, even this idea of rowing the boat. So they wanted to know a little bit more about that. And he said it's a perfect way to understand teamwork. Everybody plays their part. I saw this in an article in which they interviewed Fleck, and he said this: row the boat is a method of how our whole program will fit together. It's also a saying that has such a simple meaning, but there's so much behind it in terms of a way for the whole community, the whole faculty, administration, players, and student body can rally behind something greater than itself. We're making it global and community-based. Everyone can relate to this. The boat is set in a different direction, and we're rowing. We can't see the future, but we can see our past. Our past is the program. It's the people. That's what we're looking at, and we're learning as we go. We don't know if there's a waterfall ahead of us, rocks, smooth seas, or sunsets. We have no idea. We just keep rowing. I love that picture of a group working together, rowing the boat. Paul doesn't use the analogy of a boat and all the members rowing together, but he uses, I think, similar imagery. He talks about the body and how each one of us are part of the body, and we all have to play our part to see that the body is healthy and moving in a God-honoring direction. 1 Corinthians 12:12 through 14. Just as a body, though one, has many parts, but all its many parts form one body, so it is with Christ. For we were all baptized by one Spirit so as to form one body. Again, it'd be interesting to take a concordance and look at how many times in 1 Corinthians Paul uses the word one. Anyways, whether Jew or Gentile, slave or free, and we were all given the one Spirit to drink. Even so, the body is not made up of one part, but of many. So here it is. The church is the body of Christ. I think it's interesting how he words it here. He doesn't say, do this, say this, then you will be the body of Christ. He speaks a truth to them about their identity now. You are the body of Christ. When you come to Christ, giving your life to him in baptism, you become a participant in the body of Christ, and that collective body is now currently the body of Christ, and that's us. We are the body of Christ. Many parts, one body. The language I used last week to talk about this was there is diversity in unity. All right, 1 Corinthians 12:15-20. Paul continues this analogy. Now, if the foot should say, because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason stop being part of the body. And if the ear should say, because I am not an eye, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason stop being part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? You can get an interesting picture in your mind there if you allow your mind to wander a little bit. If the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be? Get a picture of a walking ear. But in fact, God has placed the parts in the body, every one of them, just as he wanted them to be. It's really important. Again, if you're into underlining or highlighting, I think that is a verse to mark. But in fact, this is verse 18 again. But in fact, God has placed the parts in the body, every one of them, just as he wanted them to be. God designed us, the participants in the body. Each part is important. I want you to, if you're into self-talk right here, I think it's important for all of us to get this. Each part, you are important to this body. Each part. You were designed by God to be a participant in the body. And then Paul says in verse 19, if they were all one part, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, but one body. Unity and diversity. Or diversity and unity. Verses 21 through 26. The eye cannot say to the hand, I don't need you. And the head cannot say to the feet, I don't need you. On the contrary, those parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. And the parts that we think are less honorable, we treat with special honor. And the parts that are unpresentable are treated with special modesty. While our presentable parts need no special treatment, but God has put the body together, giving greater honor to the parts that lacked it, so that there should be no division in the body, but that its parts should have equal concern for each other. There you go again. God is the designer. God is the one who has put this body together, and he has crafted it wisely and carefully. Each part of the body is valuable to the health and well. Each part of the body is valuable and important to the health and well-being of the body. And he says in verse 26, if one part suffers, every part suffers with it. If one part is honored, every part rejoices with it. So it takes me back to Coach Fleck's idea of rowing the boat, moving in a certain direction together, each playing our part. There's no competition here, but there's collaboration and teamwork. The boat's only going to move in the direction that you desire the boat to go if each participant is rowing together. Not competition here. I think when Paul mentions that each part is important, I think of Doug on the baseball team I played on in high school. So Doug, as far as coordination goes, wasn't really blessed with it too much. He'd admit to that. But he loved baseball, loved it. He is also a genius, and so he ended up being the scorekeeper on the team. The guy just was a stats nerd. I mean, just ate up stats. He's one of those that could memorize the stats of professional athletes and things like that. He was into that, knew stats really well. And so Doug ended up playing a very valuable part of our team by being the statistician. Traveled with us, was just one of the guys, and kept stats just perfectly, and kept every stat. Our team, I'm sure, high school teams weren't keeping on base percentage and what this player would do with two outs and a man on second. But our team knew all of this because Doug was that kind of statistician for us. Doug played his role. Was he the pitcher or the catcher? No. But he was still part of the team and played an important role for us in the stats. And so each part of the body is important to the health and well-being of the body. 27 through 31. Now you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is a part of it. And God has placed in the church, first of all, apostles, second prophets, third teachers, then miracle, then workers of miracles, then gifts of healing, of helping, of guidance, and of different kinds of tongues. Again, as I mentioned before, this is not an exhaustive list. You can see other lists that are similar to this in places like Ephesians 4, 1 through 11, also Romans 12, verses 3 through 8. There's actually a couple of other lists as well, but those are two of the main ones, Ephesians 4 and Romans 12. Paul continues in verse 29, are all apostles, are all prophets, are all teachers, do all work miracles, do all have gifts of healing, do all speak in tongues, do all interpret, now eagerly desire the greatest gifts. That's how Paul closes this section. And so you have to ask the question here, what are the greater gifts? Is it prophesying? Is it being a teacher? Is it being a miracle worker? Is it teaching the cradle role class, which I would classify as pretty high up there? Here's what I'd say about that. I don't know for sure, but whatever he means by that, we must couple it with the idea that all gifts are important to the health and well-being of the body and are given by God for his purposes. So whatever he means by desire the greater gifts, we got to couple it with designed by God, and each part is important to the health of the body. Okay, as promised, I brought the surveys back. And this time, I'm pretty sure it's all here. So we're going to do this again. And if you brought yours from last week, that's good. You can already be well on your way. It's okay if you want to start from the top again. And this time you can just give you a stack here. This time you'll actually be able to discover your results, because you'll have the breakdown at the end that you didn't have last time. And I apologize for that again. And then I don't know if there's enough there. What's that? You only have two more? Man, we have a good group here tonight. So thought I did. Oh, they've got some there. Okay, good. I think I printed off 50 of them. One for you. You're a team, right? You row the boat together. All right, did everybody get one? Okay. And then I have pens here as well. Who needs a pen? All right, Dean in the back there. I'll go get one. Anybody need a pen? Got one. Okay. All right. Go ahead and give you about 10, 15 minutes. All right. So here's what we'll do. You may not be done with it. Some of you might be. Do you have that? You have a good idea of what the survey is about. So if you're not done yet, that's okay. You can go ahead and take it home and work on it. I would encourage you to do that. Just a couple things I'd like to mention as we close up for tonight. You might be looking at that and you're thinking, oh, I scored so low in certain areas, or I didn't get all fives on that one. What's going on with that? It's okay. It's really okay. What we're discovering through this assessment is the areas where God has gifted us. And this is not the end-all, be-all survey by any means, but it is a tool for helping to realize the way that God has gifted you. But part of the genius of the body is that where you're not gifted in a certain area, somebody else is gifted in that area. So it's like what Paul said, if all were ears, where would our sight be? So you can take courage in knowing this. You might be an ear for the Lord, and be the best ear that you can be. Also, speaking of that, I would encourage you at the bottom of the survey, if you haven't gotten there yet, to think about these little, prompts here about continuing to discover your gifts. I would encourage you to do that. So it's under the bold type there. It says, now that you have completed the survey, thoughtfully answer the following questions. Please spend some time in that section of the survey. Another thing I'd like to say is I believe that you can, in areas where you feel perhaps that you're not gifted, I believe that you can grow in those areas. I don't believe that we're pigeonholed in one spot, but through training and equipping by God, we can grow in certain areas as well. So be aware of that. And then third, again, going back to how we started the message this evening, row the boat. Play your part. Use what God has given you for the benefit of the body of Christ. Think about, I'm going to name a few. Millie Becker has been teaching Adeline's Bible class, and she's doing an incredible job. She's rowing the boat. She's playing her part in the body. And Sarah and I get a front row seat to how she is serving both the Lord and serving the body of Christ here. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yes. Yes. And they are using it for the glory of God. And we are thankful that Adeline is being blessed through Millie using her gifts. And that cool thing about gifts, it has a ripple effect to it as we use it. It's also thinking about Sally, getting ready for the meals following memorial services and how you use your gift not only of cooking, but of administration to get all of that together. That's a gift, and folks are blessed by that. Think of even tonight and this morning, Tom and Tammy in the sound booth. Benefit to the body here to be able to do that. And we could go on, but I would encourage all of us to row the boat. We have a God-given responsibility and honor to play a role in the body. And then fourth, this one, I would be careful how I say this. I want to do so gently. But I want us to be thinking about those who we perhaps see a gift or a talent or ability in them, but you've noticed that they're not using it. Encourage them to use their gifts for the benefit of the body, to the glory of the Lord. Affirm those gifts in them. Perhaps they don't know that about themselves. Affirm it. Let them know that you see that in them, and you would love to see them use that to a greater level, perhaps, than they're using it now. And we have some new folks that are with us now. We're excited about that, and we want to see that they have opportunities to hop on the boat and start rowing, using their gifts for the glory of God. Think about young people as well that are discovering their gifts in a unique way just because of their life circumstances. What do you see in them? Are you affirming them? A friend of mine told me when I started working in youth ministry, he said, one of the greatest gifts that you can give the students in the youth ministry is to affirm them in their talents, and gifts, and abilities. Affirm them in that. When you see them doing something well or you see something in them, tell them that you see that. Encourage them when you see them using gifts or talents or you see that potential within them. Share that with others. Another thing about thinking about those who are not using their gifts, this requires to some level each of us being like talent scouts or gift scouts. So we're not continually just looking within, but we're looking at others. And when we see those gifts or talents being used, or the potential the potential for it, again, tell them that. Encourage them in that way. Each of us, through Christ, are on the boat. We're in the body. And as we strive to move in a certain direction, man, it'll go so much more smoothly if we each pick up an oar and start rowing. Daryl's going to lead us in an invitation song. If there's anybody here tonight that needs the prayers of the church family, we're here to pray with you. If there's anybody here tonight that's ready to give your life to Jesus, we'd love to see you do that. So whatever need that you have, you can come forward now as we stand and continue to worship our God.